as I said, God gives us a song, and I believe that it's a song that we can sing back to him for his praise, for his glory. I believe in our relationship with God. I believe that the Word of God is important. I believe that prayer is important. We stress that at the beginning of every year. We encourage you to get into the Word of God every new year to read through the Bible. We encourage you to set up a prayer time, to work on your prayer time, increase your prayer time, maybe revitalize your prayer time. But worship has a great place to play also in our lives. And so I want to talk about three types of songs that can be catalysts in our relationship with God. And what do I mean by a catalyst? There's a definition, if you'll put those definitions up here this morning. It is a substance that enables a chemical reaction to proceed at a usually faster rate or under different conditions than otherwise possible. So we're going to try to do that this morning. Amen. And we don't want to go with the medical expression here, the scientific, but we want to look at it. The second definition says it's an agent that provokes or speeds up significant change or action. So we're going to even simplify it a little bit more this morning. It is something that quickly causes change or action. And this morning, I want you to know that a song that God can give you can be a catalyst to what you're going through here this morning. I believe if we allow that song that he gives us to be sung back to him, I believe that we could probably get through some of the situations that we're getting through a little faster. Because how many know what the purpose of trials and temptations are, right? They are to make us what? Stronger, right? They are to mature us, right? So why not begin at the beginning by involving God with prayer, by standing on his word, and by allowing God to give us a song that we can sing back to him. So we're going in the book of Revelation. If you have been reading through the Bible, you have just read this recently in Revelation chapter 14. We're going to begin at verse 1. I'll be reading out of the New Living Translation if you want to follow me in that book here this morning. That scripture begins, and then it begins with, "Then I saw the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him were 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a sound from heaven like the roar of mighty ocean waves or the rolling of loud thunder. It was like the sound of many harpists playing together. This great choir sang a wonderful new song in front of the throne of God and before the four living beings and the 24 elders. And no one could learn this song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. They have kept themselves as pure as virgins, following the Lamb wherever he goes. They have been purchased from among the people on the earth as a special offering to God and to the Lamb. They have told no lies, and they are without blame." And so as we look at this scripture here this morning, we're just going to kind of glean some things out of that. I'm going to look at three types of songs that were catalysts in the lives of those that we're reading about in this story and the lives of those that we read about in the Bible. And as we look at Revelation 14, we can apply all three types of these songs that benefited the 144,000. And so I'm going to talk about three different songs here that the Bible references. You might even call them idioms that the Bible refers to. But I want to begin with the first one here this morning. It is this a song in the night. As we look at this, we see that 144,000 were chosen by God from the 12 tribes of Israel. And they were called to be evangelists for Jesus Christ. And they made it through the tribulation victoriously. We don't know if they were martyrs or if God just kind of raptured them and took them into heaven. The Bible does not tell us this. But in Revelation 7, we read that the 144,000 were there among the great multitude standing before the throne, shouting, praising, and worshiping God. And as I said, we're going to be talking about a song in a night is what we sing when we are in the dark places of our lives. And no doubt these 144,000 individuals had some dark times in their life as they were evangelizing during the tribulation for Jesus Christ. The 144,000 had survived the tribulation. We don't know if they were under persecution or what happened in their lives. We are not given all the information. But throughout the Bible, you will find phrases of the song in the night. I would like to look at two examples here. The first one is in Job. Job asked a pertinent question in Job chapter 35. How many know that Job found himself in a very dark place? We know that he was challenged. Satan was challenged by God to look at his servant Job. We saw that Job went through very many difficulties. He lost his children. He lost his possessions. He lost his riches. He lost his bank account. He lost his position. And so he was in a very dark place in his life. And this is a question that a lot of us ask sometimes when we're in the midst of difficult situation. And so it reads here in Job chapter 35, verse 9, it says, "People cry out when they are oppressed. They groan beneath the power of the mighty. Yet they don't ask, where is God, my creator, the one who gives me songs in the night? Where is the one who makes us smarter than the animals and wiser than the birds of the sky?" These are questions we've often asked ourselves. What is God doing in our lives? Why is God doing this? Why is this happening to me? And so Job shares it with us here tonight. It is God is the one who gives us the songs in the night. If we go to Psalm chapter 76, we see Asaph. He is a musician. He is one of the ones who wrote this psalm, for one. They're not sure if this was the Asaph during David's time or the one during the captivity. They're believing that there was two different Asaphs. And so this is the one during the captivity. And listen to his words here this morning. He said, "You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated and my spirit asked, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all times? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion?" So we look at these two scriptures and we see that they were in desperate times. They were going through dark places in their life. We notice in the book of Job, it says, God is the one who gives the songs in the night. And we see in Psalm 76, he said, "I remembered my songs in the night." They are no doubt the individual songs that God had placed in his life as he was going through these dark times. Good advice when we're going through difficult situations is to ask the Holy Spirit to give us a song. We talked about it this morning. Becky mentioned it this morning in Acts chapter 16. We read the story of Paul and Silas. How many know that they were in a dark place? They were in a dark place. They had cast a demon out of a young maiden, and she was the source of income for her masters for telling fortunes. And because of that, they were arrested, they were beaten, they were put into the inner prison, and they were put in stocks. I think that's pretty dark. I wouldn't want to walk in those shoes. I wouldn't want to be in their situation. But we read in this scripture, in chapter 16, verse 25, it says around midnight. You hear that this morning? We sang that this morning, right? In the midnight hour, right? God gives us a song in midnight. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, and they were singing hymns. I don't know what hymn they were singing. It could have been Victory in Jesus, or I'll Fly Away, or Trust and Obey. I don't know what hymn it was. But they were given a song in the night. In their situation, there was a song that came forth from their hearts. Yes, they were praying, but they were also singing a song to God. And the other prisoners, it said, were listening to them as they worshiped God. I like verse 26. It says, "Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake," not just a tremor. "It was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundation. And all the doors were" what? "Immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off." What I'm showing you here and what I'm telling you today is that praise and worship is a catalyst. That when God gives us a song in our heart to sing, it is a catalyst for getting through what God has brought our way. How many of the Bible says that God doesn't tempt us, but how many know the Bible says God tests us? We don't like that word. But that's what he does. But I believe he equips us. He gives us his word. He gives us his Holy Spirit, right? But he also gives us the gift of a song in our heart that we sing to him. Prayer and singing became a catalyst for deliverance for Paul and Silas. The songs in the night give expression to our feelings. How many of you, when you're going through things, you have feelings? And some of those feelings aren't so nice. All two of you. Amen. The rest of you are angels. Praise God. The songs in the night give us expression to our feelings. They are a catalyst for faith and healing. They bring forth perseverance and patience and long-suffering, self-control, and even produce peace. Sound familiar? It's called the fruit of the Spirit. God gives us a song in the night. And so we look at the tribes, the 144,000. They went through the tribulation, and I believe that God gave them a song in the night that saw them through. The second thing I want to see in this scripture today is they sang a new song. Revelation chapter 14, verse 3 says, "This great choir sang a wonderful new song in front of the throne of God and before the four living beings and the 24 elders." I know that you guys won't understand this reference, but Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band sang a song years ago called "Old Time Rock and Roll." And I know you're not familiar with that song, but these are just some of the words. Because many of us kind of cling to this kind of philosophy, this kind of thinking, even in the church. He says, "Just take those old records off the shelf. I'll sit and listen to them by myself. Today's music ain't got that same soul. I like that old time rock and roll." Take the rock and roll, put a hymn in there. Amen. "Still like that old time rock and roll, that kind of music just soothes the soul. I reminisce about the days of old with that old time rock and roll." Folks, a lot of us cling to the old songs, right? Those songs that maybe you grew up in the church. Some of you are much older than I am and sang the hymns, right? There's those that came in where they were singing the choruses, right? Whatever generation you came into is the songs that you like to listen to and that you kind of refer back to. I believe God wants to give us a new song. I believe he can use the old songs. Yes, I do. I believe he can. But I believe that God wants to give us a new song when we're going through things. They are fresh expressions. They are inspirational. They are songs that God gives us to help us through what we're going through presently. I can't identify with somebody that lived in the 1800s. I'm sorry. Some of the words are good. The theology is good. But I didn't live then. My day is much different than their day. The things that we're facing today, there's nothing new under the sun, but it's wrapped a little bit different. We're living in a time where what? Sin is abounding, right? But also grace is abounding more. So they are fresh expressions. They're inspirational. Every generation has their own music. And we all get a little nostalgic, and we like to hear some of those old songs. I've been just putting some songs on my Spotify, and I've been going back, and you know how they just kind of thread through, and they take it to another artist, to another artist, to another artist, and it's like, man, there was a lot of good songs back then. Amen. But when you put them next to the new ones, they're like, man, they're kind of dead. They're kind of terrible. So I have to go back and delete some of the stuff off my Spotify because they're not as inspirational as it was at the moment, at the time when they came out. God is wanting to do something new. He's wanting to do something fresh. Worship like prayer can become stagnant and meaningless. I hate to tell you. We can sing songs over and over again. They say, what, about 40 times you sing a song in church, it begins to get a little old and people begin to tune out. Because why? It's not fresh anymore. It's not new anymore. Because what? Our life is changing. How many know our life changes every day? We are in transition. So Jesus warned the Pharisees against exalting tradition, long wordy prayers, and vain repetition, and cold hearts. Folks, when it comes to worshiping God, he wants us to be on fire. He wants something new. He wants something fresh. And as we talked about, he wants some new fire on the fuel on the fire. As we talked about last week. There are six psalms that talk about a new song. Even Isaiah mentions in one of his scriptures that we are called to sing a new song unto the Lord. Psalm 40 says this. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair and out of the mud and the mire. And he set my feet on the solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. A new song, a new song. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the old song, but he wants to give us a new song. Something fresh, something new. Songs bear testimony of how God has worked and is working in our lives. That leads us to the last type of song. God gives us a personal song. God wants to give you a song. We led into it. That's why we didn't take time to do the offering and do announcements. To allow you to respond to what the Holy Spirit has for you here this morning. He wants to give you a personal song here this morning. We are all going through various seasons in our life. Ecclesiastes says there is a season for what? Everything under the sun. There is a season. And we're all in different seasons of our life at this moment. But guess what? God has a song. A song for the season that you're walking through right now. It may be just a song for today. It may last a week. It may last a month. It may be your theme song for the year. But God has a song for you. We read in that verse 3 of Revelation 4, it says this great choir sang a wonderful new song in front of the throne of God and the four living beings and the 24 elders. But it goes on and says, no one can learn the song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. It was an exclusive song. It was a song just for them. And how many know that God has a song just for you? The Bible says that one day we're going to be given a new name. We're going to get a stone with our name on it. It's not going to be like anybody else's name. It's going to be a unique name with just your name. How many know there's a lot of Tims in the world? But there's only one that's the best. Amen. But God wants to give us exclusively a song for us in the moment and the season we're at in our life today. Songs can bear testimony of how God works in people's lives. I've been married to my wife going on 37 years, and we dated a little bit before that. And Karen and I do not see eye to eye on songs. We like some of the similar songs. We like some of the songs we sing in here at church. She loves some of the songs we sing in church, and some of them don't really flip my wig. Because we have different tastes. Because our downloaded songs, if you would listen to her list and my list, we like different styles. We like different songwriters. We like songs that emphasize different things. And the difference is because we're in different places with our walk in the Lord. We're not at the same place. We're walking together, but we're at different places. We're from different backgrounds. We're all from different backgrounds. And so what we like to listen to may differ because we've had different experiences and interactions with God. Because God has done a different work in my life than Karen's life and in your life. There are songs that you really love, that you're drawn to. There's artists that kind of just have the heartbeat of who you are and just kind of seem to put one song after another that you just love to listen to. And then there's some songs that you could care less if you ever heard that person sing anything. There's an artist on the radio that they play all the time, all the time, all the time. He's a great singer. He has a great message. I've even seen him in concert. But when he comes on, I turn him off. It's not that I'm stubborn. It's just there's no connection there. There's just nothing that I connect with. But God wants to give us a song that we do connect with. New songs will reflect new experiences with God. If the best testimony I have is that God saved me 50 years ago, then I need to have a fresh encounter with God. I need to have a fresh encounter with God. As I said earlier, our lives are in transition. Everyday life puts something new on our plate. Since we are always evolving, yes, we are evolving. We're becoming more like Christ. The song that God gives us is relevant to us personally for the day and the needs that we are facing presently. Songwriters write out of their own life experiences. They do. They don't write about other people's stories and their emphasis and what's going on in others. Maybe somebody close to them they may write about. But it's basically they're writing about what's going on in their life. And so we connect with those certain songwriters because we are going through something similar to them. There's just something that they went through that registers in our heart and it kind of draws us into those individuals. They find a way to express how they feel. And because they're very good at expressing how they feel, guess what? We connect because sometimes we can't put words to what we're going through. And then we hear a song and it's like, that's it. That's it. That's how I feel. That's what I'm going through. And so what do? We hijack the song, right? It becomes our song. Now and then, as new songs are coming out on the radio, I don't listen to radio that much because it's like the top 40, you know, after a while. I'm still hearing songs from 10, 15, 20 years ago, and it's like, come on, move on, move on. But now and then, you'll tune in, there'll be a new song. And it's like, wow, it impacts you. And so I'll come home and say, Karen, I got a new song that I connected with. We usually connect with songs that touch on things we are presently going through. And I don't know about you. I do pray. I do read the scriptures. And most days I get something out of it. I see something new. And that's what draws me back to the Word of God is because He's always showing me something I've never seen before. God has used songs to encourage and strengthen me at various times in my life. And no doubt many of you could stand up and say, yes, that's true in my life as well. But the truth is, in the different seasons of my life, they're not the same song. Through the various things that I've gone through, God has always seemed to kind of give me a new song that kind of registered in my heart, and it was a song that I play, repeat, again and again and again and again, to not just have somebody sing it and just minister to me, but I learn the words what so that I can sing it to God. I steal it. It becomes my song. It's not just their song, it becomes my song. We've been through many ministerial transitions through our ministry. And if you've never gone through a ministerial change, it's not like most jobs where you put an application in and you may have an interview and whatever. Pastor Chris had it easy. Right, Pastor Chris? But sometimes it may be a year, it may be 2 years, it may be even more than that, that you know the change is coming, you feel it's coming, and you kind of know it's heading that way. You're dealing with the church that you're with, and then you're thinking about what God has for you then on the next step. And so it's a long process. It's a horrible process sometimes. And can I use this hyperbole? Sometimes it feels like hell because you're in no man's land. You want to minister to those that you're ministering to, but yet you feel the call to move on to somewhere else. And so it's a long, drawn-out process. The adoption of our daughters, I wish I could say that it took 3 months or 4 months or 6 months, but it didn't. It was a long, drawn-out process. It took a long time. I've come across work challenges and personal battles. How many have personal battles? How many still have some weaknesses Some skeletons in your closet that kind of pop up now and then, right? Kind of haunt you, right? But why I'm saying all this is that God, through all these, has given me certain songs, certain scriptures to stand on. We prayed about it, but yet God also gave us a song, something that we could kind of go back to. I remember in some of them, the Katinas had a song that I really loved. For Him had a song. Phillips Craig and Gene Dean, they had a song, you know, that I would play over and over and over again in the transition. There was times that I would sit in my car, maybe waiting for my daughters or whatever, and I'd just start bawling when a song came on the radio. Because what? It spoke to the very place that I was in at that moment. And it was just an outflow of God using somebody to minister to me. That song became mine, and I was able to minister to God. Songs are powerful, folks. We kind of underwrite it. Worship is important. Praise is important. Worshiping our God is why we were created. Amen. And as I said, it's a gift. Sometimes, as we were talking about in our youth Sunday school class, it's surrendering. It's acknowledging we were created to worship God. But it is a wonderful gift, because we get something out of it, and He gets something out of it. Don't you like those gifts that when somebody gives you something, you can bless and share it with other people as well? Amen. So these are the seasons in our life. If you'll come, Whitney. In our relationship with God, songs are indispensable. They're vital to our well-being as Christians. Because if you read Psalm 150, what it says, everything that has breath, praise the Lord. You don't need an instrument to sing a song to God. You are the instrument. You have hands, you have a voice, you have some feet to get excited. Woo. You are an instrument. And as instruments, I believe that you have a song to sing to Him. Some of you have been through some horrendous things. And you're probably thinking, yeah, God did give me a song during that time that I was going through something. And if you don't have a song in what you're going through right now, I encourage you. Pray that God will give you a song. He'll give you a song to sing. So as we started out, He gives us a song in the night. We talked about the story of Paul and Silas. That was a very long night. But the Bible tells us His mercies are what? New every what? Morning. Because morning follows the night. Whatever you're going through, there is a tomorrow. There is a tomorrow. Weeping may happen throughout the night, last through the night, but what? Joy. 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 We sang about that too. Joy. Joy. Joy comes in the morning. A song. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to have His peace. He wants you to be empowered. He wants you to have His Holy Spirit. He gives us songs in the night. What are you going through? Are you in one of those times and those moments in your life here this morning that you need to say, God, I need a song. I need a song. I need you to give me a song so I can give the song back. He gives us a new song. The 144,000 sang a song that testified of the provision and power of God. It was a song of praise. It was a song of thanksgiving for what God had brought them through. Folks, some of us need that kind of a song. We need a new song, something that kind of turns us on, if you would, that gets us excited. I've got a number of new songs that just came on the radio, at least to me. They get me excited. I get pumped. I just sing and shout along with them because of what God has brought into my life and what he's done for me. It's fresh, it's invigorating, and it's faith building. And I think the most important thing is he gives us a personal song. He gives us what we need when we need it. There's nobody that can do that like God. I love my wife. She's a very godly woman. But she can't meet every need that I have in my life. God can. He can give you what you need at the moment. I'm thankful for those that have the gift of music, the gift of playing, the gift of singing. But when we get into some of these songs, I just kind of look at it this way, that song was just written for me. It was written for me. There are a lot of promises in the Word of God. And I hear a lot of you saying, oh, the promises are yes and amen in Jesus. And they are. But I believe there are some songs that we can claim for ourselves here today. Some of you probably even have sung songs that you have just sung out of your spirit. The Bible says we are to pray with our understanding. We are to pray in the spirit. We are to sing with what? Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Some of us have taken advantage of that. We may not know the words we were singing, but boy, we were singing because God gave us the song. And the altar call is this simply, it's been an altar call this whole service. Some of you need a song. You have his promise. You have his Holy Spirit, but he also has a song that he wants to give you personally. Something that will, boom, set you on fire, set you ablaze. So the altar call is this morning. The altars are open. I'm not going to beg you to come, but what are you going through? Whatever it is, God has a song for you. Amen. What are you going through? You need a physical touch here today? Need a spiritual touch this morning? Don't think about it. Just move this morning. We'll have people praying with you. Our prayer will be that God gives you a song. Hallelujah.